his life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? I'm beginning to see the light.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Great to have you with us. How many have already opened up their gifts and you're all done on the gift deal? Not very many. Couple. I'm anxious to get up. I'll be the first one up in the morning myself. We want to thank you for being here at Lakeside. Just very thankful for what God is doing here in the North Polk area. If you have your Bible, open it. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. There's a handout in your little bulletin. There's going to be some scripture that I'm going to read just a second on the screen. But I just want you to know, if you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. In the month of December, we've been looking at each one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and tonight John, and their unique perspective on the birth of Christ. And when we looked at Matthew and when we looked at Luke, they both had a genealogy. And they wrote a genealogy. And Matthew, who was trying to show that Jesus was the king of the Jews, started his genealogy with Abraham, who was the father of the Jewish nation. And then when we got to Luke, who was trying to show the humanity of Christ, he had a genealogy, and he started all the way back with the very first man, Adam. Well, in John, we have a third genealogy, and really it's the genealogy all the way back to eternity. And John wants us to see, and I want to just take a couple of moments and show you that the child that was born in the manger was really the infinite, pre-existent one, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So if you follow along as I read John 1, I'm going to read the first 14 verses and follow along. See if you can see the genealogy. It's very, very short in there. And then notice how many times the word light is mentioned in the first 9 verses. So let me read John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, that'd be John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all may believe through him. John the Baptist, he was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, Jesus, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then the last verse, verse 14. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we have seen his glory, John said, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. At Christmas, and a number of us have gone through lots of Christmases. But really, if you just stop and think for a moment, the wonder of all wonders is that the infinite one became an infant. He became an infant. He's the Creator God himself who became an infant. My wife and I have the privilege of having 5 children all married, and they're starting to have children of their own, and I'm not sure. I think we have 9 grandchildren right now, and another one on the way very soon, and a couple of foster children, and so we're just very thankful about what God's doing in our life. Every once in a while, they'll trust their kids to us, and they stay overnight, and we have a party. But imagine this. One night, if you're a grandparent, you'll get this. One night, a small voice came from across the hall of Grandpa's or Dad's bedroom. "Daddy, I'm scared. I'm right across the hall, son." A couple minutes later, "Daddy, I'm still scared." "Don't worry, son. God is watching over you." "Daddy, I want someone with skin on." John is telling us that Jesus is God with skin on. Verse 14, "And the Word became flesh." The Word always existed. The Son of God always existed, but He took on skin, He took on flesh, and He dwelt amongst us. Now, no matter where you turn in the Bible and read about the Christmas story, you'll always see that light is associated because Jesus is the light of the world. Now, I think they'll have it up on the screen, but in the first 9 verses, let me just point out to you that the word light, did anybody count while I was reading? How many times is the word light written there? Did anybody count? 7 times. Look at verse 4, and I think I have them underlined on the screen. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Verse 7, "He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him." Verse 8, talking about John the Baptist, "He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light." Verse 9, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." And so John, over all of the Gospels, wants us to see Jesus as the light of the world. As the light of the world. Matter of fact, if you have a Bible, I think I have these verses up on the screen. Just flip over a couple pages to John chapter 3, verse 16, and a couple of verses that follow. The most famous verse in all the world, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." That's one of the greatest Christmas verses ever. "That whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." Verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Verse 19 is what I was aiming for. "And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world." John couldn't get over this. This is what Jesus is saying here. "Light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil." Just one more, John chapter 8 and verse 12, and this will be up here on the screen. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Let me get there myself. John 8 and verse 12. So Jesus says, and I want to spend just a couple of moments here tonight before we end with a testimony and lighting of the candles, which is just going to be very special. John 8 and verse 12. And again, Jesus spoke to them. So Jesus is enamored with the fact that He's the light of the world, and John has picked this up and recorded it for us. And again, Jesus spoke to them, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world." Me, a person. And whoever follows Me will not be in darkness anymore. And I can think back to my life before Christ. I could say, really, the way I could describe it is I was walking in darkness. I was lost. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Now, we're just going to spend a couple of moments in this verse. We're not going to stay here long. But I want you to see the context in which Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Probably all of us have heard that quoted about Jesus. But if you have your Bible, I'll have it up here on the screen as well. In John chapter 7, there was this very special event going on that Jesus said this very phrase at. In John chapter 7 and verse 2, it says, "Now the Jews' Feast of Booths," or the Feast of Tabernacles, "was at hand." It was at hand. And then it says in verse 14 of John chapter 7, "About the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and he began teaching." Now I have a picture of the Exodus. And the Feast of Booths was a feast that they would be commanded to go to Jerusalem every year. If you were a Jew, you would travel from all corners of Israel and you would go back. It's one of three feasts that God commanded you to go back to. And basically for 8 days, it would be a joyful celebration. And the main thing they did there, they were commemorating how God walked them, got them out of Egypt, and got them all the way into the Promised Land. And one of the ways God did that was with a pillar of fire. I think I have the picture back there. It's an artist's rendition of the pillar of fire. I thought that's a really cool picture. Because it says in Exodus, where it talks about this very event that they were commemorating when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," it says in Exodus that the cloud went before him by day and the pillar of fire by night. And so the pillar of fire was the very presence of God. And then it would settle over top of the little tabernacle there. And that was the presence of God itself. And so at this annual festival, the Feast of Booths, they would commemorate the fact that God went before them with a pillar of fire. Now, I won't have you turn there, but in Exodus 14, just to remind you, as they came up to the Red Sea and they thought that they were pinned and the Egyptians were coming at them, God sent the cloud and the pillar of fire to separate and to protect the Israelites in between them, so the Egyptians on this side couldn't see what the Israelites were doing on this side. And so it was a great celebration that they would have. And they would celebrate three things. And I just want you to get this in your mind, because this is what Jesus is saying when he says, "I am the light of the world." So they would commemorate three things about God in this ceremony. They would commemorate God's presence, his protection, and his plan. So when the pillar of fire went, if you didn't go with it, you were left in the dark. You would have been out in the wilderness lost. Your life depended on staying connected to the pillar of fire when it moved at night. And so I have another picture. Now, back in the day, go to this picture in Israel. And so today they'll commemorate it and they'll kind of put some light. You'll see that they'll put light up there. And they're remembering the pillar of fire. But back when the temple was actually in existence and they were doing it, depending on who you read, they would have 75-foot candelabras. And each candle would have a 10-gallon tank of oil and it would burn all night. And they would just, and so, like, I think our highest point of our ceiling over here is like 30-some feet. So imagine going twice as high with all of these candles, and they would just light up the area, and they would celebrate the fact that God's presence and God's protection and God's plan dwelt with the pillar of fire. And so in John 8 and verse 12, at the very end of the celebration, they just extinguished all the lights. Jesus says to all those that were there at that feast, anybody who would listen to him, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I'm the pillar of fire. I'm the light of the world. I'm your presence. I'm literally the presence of God. I am the light of the world." So if you look at John 8 and verse 12, just for a second, just put your eyes on the verse, and I just don't want anything to escape us here. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus said, "I am." It's a very personal call to follow. Jesus is saying, "I am the light of the world." He's pointing to himself, not a religion, not a church, not an activity, a person. And he says, I am the light. The light. There's lots of lights. And they would have just celebrated these unbelievable lights. But he said, I am the light. It's an exclusive call of the world. Now they lit up the temple. The wilderness was lit up in a certain area. But Jesus said, I am the light that is the light of the world. So the world clearly includes everybody in this room. And now notice how very individual it gets in this verse. Whoever. So he's saying, I want to be the light for the entire world, but whoever this individual call follows me, that's a call to surrender to Christ, they're going to have the abundant life because they're not going to walk in darkness anymore, but they'll have the light of life. I mean, I could tell you personally from my own life, the first 20 years of my life, I would characterize the fact that I was in a dark place and I was lost. And I can tell you personally that Jesus will lead you out of the darkness and he'll give you a life characterized by the light. Now, some of you are going to say, well, I don't know if that's the word that I would use for my life, but I know something's missing. Well, that something is Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world, and that is what we're celebrating here tonight. Pretty soon we're going to leave here and we have a meal planned at our house and the kids and the grandkids are coming over and tomorrow we're going to open up gifts and that's going to be awesome. But I want you just to take a moment and think about your relationship to the light of the world. So think with me. Jesus is saying in John 8 and verse 12, it's not enough just to look at the light. It's not enough to study the light. Talk about the light. It's not even enough to sing about the light. He's saying you must personally believe and receive the light. Go back, if you would, to John chapter 1, where we started. And these verses will be up here on the screen, but I want you to see this. Because the leadership at Lakeside, the elders, men and women have been praying for each and every one that are here tonight. Here's what John said starting at verse 9. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. In verse 10 it says that they didn't, and it literally means they didn't acknowledge him. They walked right by him. They were celebrating alongside him, but they didn't recognize him. They didn't realize that the celebration at the temple, what was really a focus and attention should have been on Christ himself. They didn't acknowledge him. And then it says in verse 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. It literally means that they rejected him. Now, the other night, I was with a couple other men, and we went to another individual's house, and we were all going to drive up to the UNI basketball game where they're playing Xavier, and I was excited to go up there, and so we pulled into this person's driveway. I didn't know who the person was. I hadn't met this couple, and so I was going to go up to the door. I wasn't going to walk right into their house. I don't know them. But Jesus is saying, I want you to receive me. I'm knocking. I want you to bring me into your life. But they stiff-armed him. They rubbed shoulders with him, but they stiff-armed him. But then notice in verse 12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. There are some who humbly believed and received the light, and it was a life-changing event for them. To them he gave the right to become the children of God. Now I would assume in a group this size at Christmas and family visiting and everything, there's a lot of different churches and brands of churches that are represented here. And I try to always tell as many people as I can, when you stand before God, he's not going to ask you what church you went to, but Do you know the Savior? Do you personally, have you invited him in? Have you humbly saw him as the one who was born in a crib, who went to the cross? Because by believing and receiving, you get the right to become the children of God and no other way.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message, or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.